Siren FM. Now we can have the weather from Gibraltar.
Yay. Highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade, and it's a dry and bright, breezy day.
Sensational. So, yeah, a new feature we introduced last week, Hannah. Ben took over the mantle in the second part of the programme. I'm not sure that we'll do that today, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, how is Frodo? Let's cut to the quick. No messing about. How is the pug?
Again, not in the same room as me.
Not in the same room.
No, I think he's gone to another room to sleep.
Dear. Oh, well, never mind. So we actually, on that basis, you know, deductive logic would suggest, I suspect, that he is actually unconscious.
Mm. Well, 9 times out of 10,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah. So. You
see... Yeah, he is, but he's just decided on a different area of the house.
Inevitably, the next thing we're going to have to do is you're going to have to get one of those wonderful mobile phone devices, use the TuneIn app systems, tune it in to Siren Online, and then we can actually all say, "Wake up, Frodo!" You know, if you sort of, you know, place it in his vicinity, you know, it's for his own good. I mean, I think it's fair to say it's for his own good. You can't sort of spend all that time unconscious.
Yeah,
really.
I know, but to be fair,
I think I've seen
less conscious people on a night out in Lincoln.
So, and there's the point.
He does sleep 14 hours a day.
Only 14 hours a day.
Only sleep. Beauty sleep.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that leaves 10 hours.
He basically hibernates. It's not even unconscious. He hibernates for three quarters of the day.
He's like a little bear.
And 10 hours to actually eat. Oh, well, never mind. That's the life and times of a doggy in Gibraltar. Marvellous stuff. In terms of some of the features that are coming up on the programme today, we have the 48-hour film challenge, and wouldn't you know it, even though it's directly targeted at Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Amphreville, because we'd like, for once... In fact, actually, Hannah, you're pretty good with the camera, are you not?
Yes, we'll use it. Well, I like to think I am. We use it when we're doing TV.
Yeah, so. Well, I think you know, we should. We've sort of provided this for media production students year in, year out, and as yet they have never got to the stage of actually entering this particular 48-hour filmmaking challenge that's part of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, where you literally have 48 hours. That's effectively two Frodo sleeps to, in essence, produce a short science fiction movie. Past winners, of course, include Gareth Edwards, a man you might have heard of, you know, produced or directed the last Star Wars scenario. And before the main event kicks off on the 27th of April this year at Sci-Fi London, the weekend of the 8th to 10th of April sees the latest instalment of the 48-hour film challenge, where Sci-Fi London challenges attendees to create a 5-minute microbuster in just 2 days. I mean, Hannah, you could call upon the services of Ben and other midriot drivers to assist on this sort of basis. So I'm thinking, would you be up for taking that mantle on?
If the others are up for it, we could try.
What do you think, Gabriella? do you think that it's the way forward, that either the campaign should start now to get Hannah to get involved with the 48-hour film challenge? We're coming up with Louis Savvy later on in the programme. Last week, of course, he was a superhero, as Ben will attest to, because in the very cafe in which he was having his morning sustenance, an ordinary member of the public...
Like your radio local.
Just like that. literally stood on a nail and Super Louis, as we should now refer to him, actually assisted him in terms of removing the nail and so on. It's very impressive.
That's nice. I guess, not for the person who's doing the nail, but nice that they helped out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, you see, just shows that just when you think that all folk in the South, especially London, can have their own sort of agendas, etc. No, you know, the joys of the kindness of strangers, as Blanche DuBois would have said. Exactly, humanity. Is out there. So it's rude. So I think we're going to invite you, Gabriella, to engage in a random act of kindness yourself today. No pressure, but I know you can actually do that for that point. So have a think about that and think about what's the random act of kindness you can actually pay it forward to Gibraltar. I mean, Hannah, any ideas that you might sort of have for Gibraltar and a random act of kindness?
You could surprise someone with a cupcake, and just if they've been having a down day, they can cheer up with this beautiful cupcake, as long as they're not
gluten, or diabetic.
You can take the insulin for it, so
you could, unless it's type 2.
Unless it's type 2, yes. Yeah.
It sounds so simple, Gabriella, but as you can tell by that discussion, there's maybe a little bit of complexity.
You could kill someone off with a random act of kindness.
Well, you know, we obviously deny all knowledge of even suggesting this sort of thing, so I just think it'd be a nice little line to actually sort of work through. And then next week, you see, not only can you do the weather forecast, you can obviously say what random act of kindness you've engaged in to kind of keep Gibraltar smiling. Because Lord knows it needs to these days. Yeah, it's just a thought. Great. Any questions, Ben, for Gabriella?
How's the court case going? Is it developing any further at all, or is it still very...
It's closed for now, because they did the closing submissions, and what's left now is for the judge to make his decision. So we think it's going to be around April, because he's got a month-long holiday.
Very nice.
Great for him.
It's like feedback of marks. You can't just sort of rush these things. You've got to allow...
You need to take time off. Exactly. You need to take time off.
Work through
it was a month-long hearing.
Month-long trial, and obviously a month to take time off, and then we can actually have, he come to judge, he come to judge. Everybody look, because he come to judge. Sorry, I wanted to say that for years. It's another one off the bucket list, really. Hannah, any thoughts for yourself? About trials, cupcakes, dealing with a random act of kindness.
Killing people by accident.
Exactly. Take it away. I mean, you might like to seek Gabriella's advice, because obviously you're now into the second half of your degree. You know, you've crossed that threshold. You've gone through a year and a half, exactly. You're into the home straight, almost.
Well, we're trying to avoid thinking about that, since apparently I've got a dissertation talk next week, and I'm not quite ready for that. I'm saying
it's Harry Potter. I'm serious, do it on Harry Potter, you know, the journalistic views of the whole thing. Use your interests, connect on that basis.
Yeah. I was wondering, do you think Frodo is going to be doing any acts of kindness to help spread the smiles?
I'm sure he does them daily. You know, smell the dogs and...
Smell the dogs.
Does.
I'm not sure how far down the street.
I'm sure that's an act of kindness.
Yeah. The nearest act of kindness he'll do is stay awake for the whole day.
Oh my god. I mean, to be unseen as of yet for the past 2 years.
It may happen. That's the one day I'm sure it will. That's the important sort of things. All right, moving on, because Richard Fitzwilliams obviously needs as many seconds as he can possibly get to actually sort of produce his usual filmic review. We just have to mention that Rachel Riley is coming back to the programme. Yes, as I said, almost the perfect person. Except for the fact she supports the wrong side in Manchester. I know, it's just such a frustrating thing.
You mean she's a proper fan?
Okay there, Ben. Not go there. It's frustrating in every sense of the word, but still, I'm sure we should actually have an intervention sort of clinic just to actually sort that whole process through.
It was sorting out for later on.
Yes. But in terms of the things she's talking about, it's science in schools and a whole range of the Bright Idea Challenge that's coming through. How did you rate science in Gibraltar, Gabriella? I mean, clearly you did journalism, but what was your views with respect to science?
What do you mean?
Did you enjoy it?
Science lessons?
Yes.
I did until I became a teenager, and then I stopped enjoying science lessons. It's all right, you know? Learn science. I haven't really...
So let's do a quick test. Okay.
In the past while.
What's photosynthesis?
That's when the plants get sunlight and they turn it into...
Glucose,
energy,
and sugar, and starch, and all that. So that's okay, yes, that's fine. I won't ask you for Boyle's Law, because that would be unfortunate.
It's all about chlorophyll and all the rest of it for A-level.
Frodo's obviously on the line now. He's desperately trying to get through. He sort of beeped in there, saying, enough, I'm up here already, we're sorted through. And by the way, I do my dog encountering on the astral plane, because a bit like Doctor Strange, of course, when we think he's asleep... It could be a little astral Frodo going through the cosmos, doing all sorts of things. He could actually, at this very moment in time, be both connecting the White House and the Kremlin.
That's why he's asleep so long.
Yeah.
Or he could be doing a good thing and could be saving the galaxy without our knowledge.
Either of those two options are possibilities in the speculative wonderments that the Midweek Drive Morning Edition actually provides for you at 11 and a half minutes past 8 o'clock. Yeah. So, last two questions for Gabriella, please, Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Will you be joining us again next week?
Yep, I'll be here.
With the weather forecast as well.
Yay.
Quick heroin and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
Are you sure it's not Harwich? Harwich heroin?
What did I say?
I don't. You said Harwick. I mean, the hyperbolic midweek drivette was right. Also, I love the deep breath you took before Hannah Brown. Like you're taking a big bite out of Hannah Brown. We're keeping all this in.
Of course, Phil. As if we had any intention of actually taking away from genius material like that. Hannah, what can I say? Clearly, the Fitzwilliams-Meister has gone on a completely different line, because whereas I would have said, surely he has to talk about Logan and Lego Batman in terms of the sort of classic scenarios,
like,
there.
These are films I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Exactly. Neither Lego Batman nor Logan, nor indeed Skull Island, have appeared as yet on the palette that we're actually... Instead, he's going down the line of a Dutch director who's known for not shirking when it comes to matters of the flesh.
Well, may I just point out in my defence, you've listed several movies. We have a slot for only two, as well you know, and we have to, after the awards ceremonies, we have to cover some. I admit that my choice of certain women was purely selfish. What's wrong with occasional selfishness?
It's International Women's Day. It was yesterday. We celebrated it with 20 years of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and more, so we're still coming back to that. We thought of you, Hannah, because, of course, you're always slaying vampires in Harwich, which is a little line we were putting together.
Because, you know, Harwich is known for its vampire population.
Glad you said that.
Or Harwick, if you want to call it Harwick.
Yeah.
Whichever part of the country you got. However, Isabelle Huppert and Concini, Laurent Lafitte, and others are all connected with this movie. We're going to launch with 2 hours and 10 minutes, a comedy drama thriller, released actually on the 10th of March 2017 in the UK. She. Richard.
Yes, precisely, she. Elle, and I have to say, a movie. The reason that I've couldn't resist talking about this movie is that anyone seeing it will certainly never forget it in one way or another. Now, you, in fact, in that introduction, you mentioned comedy, you mentioned thriller. I mean, which is it? Well, the point is, those who find this movie funny, there are aspects of it which could be seen to be humorous. There also, certainly, it's a psychological thriller. And as you correctly pointed out, Paul Verhoeven loves controversy. This, you could call it Basic Instinct in Paris. That isn't given too much away.
Is it like Showgirls? Is it as good as Showgirls?
Well, I have to tell you that doing a little research last night, I came upon a review of Showgirls which said that it was Verhoeven's hidden masterpiece. It was very well hidden as far as I was concerned. Showgirls was a load of rubbish. But this is, whatever you think of the movie, and I am going to be very careful about any spoilers, which are, they're littering the web, and so I must advise anyone who wants to see this movie, for goodness sake, don't read about it and don't spoil it for yourself, because there is a fiendish twist in it. It's one of the most extraordinary twists I've ever seen in a movie, and you could say that there is a certain comedy in that, in the sense that Verhoeven's joke is partly on the audience. Is this an empowering film for women, International Women's Day yesterday? Well, frankly, others mistake their minds up. Huppert plays Michelle LeBlanc. Now, in the first scene of this movie, she is brutally raped by an assailant who's wears a jumpsuit, and so we don't know who he is, and it's a horrendous scene. She calmly cleans up the mess and gets her life in order and proceeds. Why? What is the reason she doesn't tell the police? You're drawn into the web of this movie, for better or worse, inexorably, because it's unlike anything you've ever seen, which is part of Paul Verhoeven's idea. He hasn't made a film since Black Book, which was quite sensational. He loves sensation. And she's, we meet Michelle, indeed we do. She's the head of a successful company which deals with video, or sells video games. Some of them pretty nasty, I have to say, pretty violent. She's got a son, they hate each other. Her son has a pregnant wife who despises him. She and her mother don't get on particularly well either. And it just so happens, not only is she having an affair with her neighbor, who's husband of a deeply religious woman, but also she's the daughter of a monstrous serial killer who involved her when she was 10 in his terrible misdeeds. So you have, putting it mildly, somebody who's got
issues, I think, is the first line. You know, one or two issues there.
As extraordinary character. Now, that is where Hoppe is very, very good. She's been in two movies, which, Things to Come and Elle, and both, in fact, have received faves, and there's no question this is a film which exceptionally fine performances from all of the cast. Hoppe is absolutely marvellous. What happens? How does it happen? The assailant is sending her texts, appears to be able to see what she's up to, and then what about the affair she's having at work, and she's an extraordinarily destructive yet fascinating, controlling yet vulpine figure. Now, I am basically going to leave it there, because she courts danger in this movie, and I was, I have to say, absolutely riveted by it. There are aspects of it, one or two aspects, that are flaws, but tell you those would start to reveal part of the plot, and I am going to do no such thing. I'm going to say it's well filmed.
That's the reason, Richard. You are Richard, spoiler free, Fitzwilliams. It's the official line.
So. Well, in this case, absolutely. Mm. I mean, Hoppe is superb. What do you think of the movie? Do you think this is an empowering movie, considering what it shows and what it has to say? I have my doubts, quite frankly. There are a large number of scenes of violence in this movie. You have been warned.
It's Paul Verhoeven. You expect no less. Flesh and blood. Ben, does it appeal to you?
Slightly in some ways. I kind of enjoy the action side of it, but I don't know if I particularly... I don't know if I find the storyline very interesting.
I haven't sketched the storyline purposefully.
Of course, I understand. And it's probably one of them films you can't talk to anyone about, or speak to someone, or show them about them being given spoilers.
Exactly. Hannah?
Well, I mean, when you say you enjoy the action side of it, I remember not to say that until you've seen it, and when you've seen that, you certainly won't.
Right, okay, maybe I'll step on my own toes there.
Yes. Hannah?
Well, I'm intrigued, because it seems like a mystery now. It might be one I leave going, okay, but it sounds very interesting, and I'm intrigued, because we just don't know what's happening in it.
We didn't ask, of course. Did you manage to listen back to the podcast and keep last week's chart sorted through?
I'm up to date on...
So you're up to date in terms of where the skill set was,
because
Richard was a bit... he was fretful last week, to be fair. He didn't reveal it, being the consummate professional that he is, but I know, knowing that you weren't there in the studio, Hannah, to actually mark down, you know, was it a positive, was it a negative, and so on. It's very important. As much as actually finding work for Kristen Stewart it after the Twilight saga is important, really, because...
Oh, it is indeed. I ought, by the way, to mention that Isabel Huppert, just to remind everyone, she won the Golden Globe for this performance, and she was nominated for an Oscar, which I have to say, she, brief clip, well, like Denzel Washington, though he did look, and understandably, tremendously emotional when he lost, she didn't look pleased when she didn't win, because she has never, she's been over 120 films, she has never been nominated before. She won two awards at the London Critics Circle Film Awards. That's where I'm able to have a couple of chats with her, and it was fascinating meeting a screen legend. Amazing, she'd never been nominated for an Oscar for
When all's said and done, Richard, you know, it's just a trinket, you know? At the end of the day, it's just prizes for all sorts of others. Isabel, don't worry.
Prizes are not trinkets, they are well earned, and the emotion when you win or when you lose, I think it's very understandable.
Yeah, it's not competitive. It's not like mud wrestling, you know.
It is competitive. Indeed, on the subject of mud wrestling and competition, I have to tell you what happened to Shelley Winters, who in 1951 was so convinced she'd win an Oscar for A Place in the Sun. I was trying to find out problems when there'd been wins and loses and losses at the Oscars, as you could imagine why. She got up, even though her name hadn't been called, and her partner had to tackle her.
Yeah.
She fell on the floor and had to crawl back to their seats, and she still didn't understand it.
Yeah, well, you know, these things can happen, you know. It's possibly inebriation. Who knows what could be the case.
As you do, isn't it?
It's emotional. The award ceremony is when you know, win, lose, or whatever, and you're supposed to smile when you've lost, but inwardly, what are you
feeling?
It's
the taking part that counts, let's face it.
But you tell that to Peter Sellers when he lost for being there. Rumour has it apoplexy.
Yeah, but you know, let it go. In the words of the princess, let it go. That's quite clearly
or
the
James
case.
Bay.
Or exactly. set against the big sky backdrop of southern Montana, this next little epic, again, available and out there, featuring, of course, the aforementioned Kirsten Stewart and more, Certain Women, Richard. Certain Women.
This is my treat to myself this week, because I was fascinated by this movie. It's certainly no epic, I have to say. Indeed, you could say that director Kelly Reichardt, she's been called minimalist with reason, because you're drawn into three different stories involving women in Montana. There is some intersection between their lives. And I was absolutely fascinated by it as a total contrast to Elm. It's gentle, it's lyrical, sometimes it's tense and dramatic. Three stories. A lawyer, Laura Wells, played by Laura Dern, is trying to help an angry client who has issues, who faces ruin, and basically is clinging to her somewhat. And she's decent, she's hard-working, she's also having an affair with someone who's married. He's unstable, and then there is a hostage incident which involves him. Then we switch to something totally different. Gina and Ryan Lewis, played by Michelle Williams and James LeGros, a married couple with a teenage daughter. Marriage is perhaps a little edgy. They stop at the home of an elderly man they know, Albert, played by René Auberbougeat, and they want sandstone for their new home, which they are building from scratch, and they easily get it, and he agrees to give it to them. Third story, Jamie, played by a newcomer, Lily Gladstone. You were going to hear more of her, believe me, based on this performance. She's a ranch hand living in isolation in winter, stumbles on accidentally in a class in school law taught by a young lawyer, Beth Travis, played by Kristen Stewart, and they eat together after the class. Beth is very pressurized to get to this class, normal work and place of business. It's a four-hour drive each way, and it's hard for her to cope with this and a job. Laura is... This is very, very interesting, because Jamie is drawn into this class. Now, what is her attraction to Beth, and what happens? Or does a great deal happen? Or are these just studies in the way certain women live in different situations? Where are the interconnections? And visually, a lyrical movie. I was fascinated, I have to say, because Laura Dern, Michelle Williams, Kristen Stewart, and Lily Gladstone, I'm adding to that list because she's so good. It's almost as though you were knitting an American quilt with the story. They're slices of real life. They're linked together. You have drama, you have very little happening, you have a certain amount happening in the minds of, for example, Jamie, how she sees the teacher. She's lonely, she's isolated. What is it she wants? And does the house get built? And what about that sandstone? And what happens to the individual who's held a security guard hostage and the lawyer, Laura? I was fascinated by this movie. This is art history. It is not a film, I have to confess, that is going to rival Logan, but it is a film that's absolutely enchanting if you love a filmmaker who understands the poetry of the medium.
Not going to rival Logan. Did I detect in the preview that René Auberjonois, obviously known as Odo from the Star Trek series, also appearing? A strange choice. Let's check on the cast this word. Hannah, Certain Women.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting and different, so to check it out.
Ben?
It looks a little bit more watchable than the previous one, I must admit. But yeah, no, I think I'd give it a crack. I'd give it a crack.
There we are, you see. So it looks as though we've got two in the positive column, it would seem.
One thing I must just stress, I know I've been very careful about what I've said about Elle, but this is watchable. In fact, you could say one of the infuriating aspects of this movie, which is flawed, is that even when I was a bit dubious about some of what I was watching, I was compulsively gripped by it.
That's the magic of Paul Verhoeven, of course. But I never thought I'd actually hear somebody turn it around and say Showgirls was a classic, still never mind.
Somebody exists online who's put that rubbish up. It was rubbish, of course. It was the worst film he'd ever done, and that is unbeatable.
Apart, of course, from Kyle MacLachlan's performance in The Swimming Pool, which was quite extraordinary, but still, never mind that.
The Swimming Pool by Francois Ozon with Charlotte Rampling and the seductive Ludovic Insignia. You're not referring to that?
No, I'm talking about the sequence in Showgirls, but never mind.
Yes, indeed.
It's all right. It took place and rolled out to the world long before Ben or Hannah were even born. So we're talking 1989 here.
Paul Verhoeven is not a young director.
He's not. That's the reason he got Sharon Stone to actually do the famous leg cross in Basic Instinct, but that's another issue.
Although that particular scene has, as we all know, become so notorious, there's a great deal more in Basic Instinct that I would have thought would have been a great deal more notorious.
Exactly.
I always say...
What is an ice pick between friends? So.
And I have to say also, let's just mention, we can do no more, Michael Douglas's physicality. I'm somewhat envious.
Yeah, well, it's all computer graphics these days, as indeed the Ant-Man and the Wasp series
were actually showing. One of the interesting aspects of Basic Instinct, incidentally, would have been to see the cuts that we never saw that were removed. I would have liked to have.
Well, I'm sure one day. Have you ever encountered Basic Instinct, Hannah?
I've heard of it, but
you've
not
heard of
it,
but never actually.
Ben? Same as me, exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
I would recommend it because it's one of those movies that has...
Erotic film noir is the brand.
Oh, it's certainly an erotic film noir, but it's also extremely entertaining, and even on just on the basis of being a glossy thriller, you won't forget it if you watch it, and I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
So there we are.
So it's a better 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, but as you get 50 Shades darker, you'll see that the poster is up, but I haven't checked the figures to see how many people are going. I suspect a lot of people are going, and they're laughing the way I laughed and they laughed when I was in a public cinema, which is a very good way of seeing movies sometimes. You know, I do see...
It provides us with an insight into what the proletariat, what the proles, and the sort of the ordinary people think. Not everybody can be in the same sort of zone as Hannah and Ben, etc. The greats, the celebrities, and so on. Yeah, it's always something. Sometimes it's quite nice to keep it real. You know, find out what the
generic.
Really,
if you want to keep it real, go to Tate Britain and be along with hundreds of others, because I couldn't make the press showing, but I have seen it and I would recommend it, because, I mean, David Hockney is probably, since Lucian Freud's death, our most significant living painter, and here you have Hockney in different stages. Extraordinary the way he's so versatile. There's some fascinating portraits. We know his parents and Mr. and Mrs. Clark and Percy, some of the best known Hockneys you'll find there, but I was completely unaware of the abstract gay works in his early career. I'd never even heard of them, which probably I should have. And they occupy one room, which is most interesting, especially considering homosexuality was illegal at the time. The other thing, of course, I would mention is these glorious swimming pools. I mean, they're so sybaritic and seductive, some of his famous works.
Richard, that's quite enough swimming pool for today, I think. You know, enough for the
swimming pool.
Two, failures
in some of his later work. Oh. Now, a lot of landscapes, very, very interesting, very bright colours, but some more skillfully executed than others.
Hannah.
Yes.
It's time to ask those two final moments, please. Those two questions which
draw
a close. Veil to itself.
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, especially when I naughtily inserted a review of David Hockney.
Yeah, I saw that. I was aware of that, Richard. We thought, what the hey? It's Lent.
Well, it's the spirit of El, you know.
Yeah.
As it were.
Will you be joining us again next week?
I hope so.
Pondering the question, of course, who is the Lego Batman? Well, that's enough to actually wake us up, I presume. Ian Lennox?
Wow. Yes. My cat came in the cat's love at the middle of all that.
Ian Lennox. Well, you see, obviously, it attracted the cats because...
I think you thought there was a call for dinner.
A call for dinner, a call for help. Either way, shape or form, it was clearly a magical sort of insert into the world and the universe and various other sort of factors and so on. So, how are we, Ian Lennox?
I'm fine. I think I've come through as far as football's concerned, I've come to a trial by ordeal and done very well for Newcastle United this last week. 7 out of 9 points, all three away games against the top three teams. I couldn't have asked for better.
Well, yes, okay.
Well, I could have done. I scored 9, I suppose, but...
It does look and does appear that it's going to be Brighton and Newcastle that probably will be doing the business after the last one.
I had a look at this the other day. Mm-hmm. Brighton won against Rotherham the other night, but they lost at the weekend. And I was looking at the table, but if you look at that sort of that clump of playoffs, and there's 10 points between Brighton and I think it's Leeds who are bottom of the playoffs.
Mm. Yeah,
it's honestly, I think it could still swing. Although I don't want it to, it's still, I still don't think anyone's safe.
Well, the one I would be very wary of is still is Huddersfield, because I think they're playing the best football of the three teams.
Oh, definitely, definitely, I think so.
And they've got some very good players. Mayer, I think, is an outstanding good championship player. Could do well in the Premiership, I'd imagine.
And a German manager, what can we say?
Yes, he didn't look German, did he?
How do you define what a German look actually is?
Well, I just imagine on top of the Panzer, I suppose.
It's that kind of comment, Ian, that gets you put into the Boris Johnson character category of kind of diplomatic lines not to actually use.
Probably right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I don't know, strange enough, he's called David Wagner, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Wagner's a German name, but it's not one of those James you just leaps out as being German. Apart from the composer, really.
And, of course, the American actor Robert, who, of course, was Robert Wagner, who was saying
well,
heart-to-heart and variety of
Wagner of X Factor. Yeah,
exactly. So Wagner's all over the place, really.
Am I talking rubbish here?
Rich, Ian, please.
Can I escape back to football quickly?
Yeah, at the end of the day, Ian, you know, we need to provide some help for your good self and your computer challenges, because here we have... tremendous author, doing all sorts of other marvellous things, but he's got a challenge, and I feel Hannah and Ben, maybe collectively you can put your young minds to work here, and maybe actually help Ian solve his challenge of why his computer seems to hate him.
It's always a dilemma when you confuse yourself.
You haven't lost your words, have you?
That's an enigmatic answer, isn't it?
You've saved it all.
Ben, you might not be too far away from the truth with that. Would you like to utter those statement one more time?
Saying, Ian, you haven't lost any of the words, have you? You haven't lost...
Yes, I did. It's four times it's happened now. And yesterday, I lost about 400 and something words.
Oh, no.
An hour's work for me. More than that. And another time I lost about the same number. And twice before that, I lost 100 and something, which wasn't too bad. I've sort of... The problem is you get such a shock when it happens, and you storm around, but really what you've got to do is just get back on the horse sort of thing, because it's surprising how much you remember of it, you know.
It's fresh in the mind,
almost word for word sometimes, it's strange. So anyway, I did that yesterday, but, you know, it's still an hour wasted. And anyway, unfortunately I've got some friends in television who answered my call for help. One in particular is an expert in computers, and he's given me sort of an idiot's guide to what I should do.
Well, it was something which, when we kind of looked at the challenge that was there, we thought, well, what can we say in this particular instance? You know, I mean, he was obviously sort of, actually, I see you've been very busy sharing all sorts of pet videos, you know, it's just amazing. There's a whole heap of things happened with respect to your link on your whole piece. In fact,
on Facebook.
Yes, exactly. So I suppose displacement opportunities coming into play here. But, I mean, in terms of, would you like to just describe what has been happening with your computer and why you seem to think that it's personal? I'll tell you what, we'll get Hannah to read out the official sort of pleary, the quest, which kind of, you know, caught our attention. We said, well, that's something to talk about when Ian joins us on Thursday.
Okay. Can anybody help? I am writing a novel at the moment, and four times now the computer has suddenly deleted all new work. The type size suddenly increases in size. I can either save... I can either save the huge type or save the file as it was when I started work. I lost over 400 words today. Fortunately, I can remember most of the work, but it still loses me about an hour and disrupts my chain of thought.
Disrupts his train of thought, you say. That's the sort of key thing. I mean, some of the responses that we've actually had, Colin Skipsy came up with, you can set the software to do that check help file. When the text goes large, check the font size on the font bar. I'm losing it to a limit.
Yeah, he's the expert, actually.
Yeah, to which your response was, thanks, genius. I think he was being ironic with respect to
that. He's very clever on computers. He's very clever on other things as well, actually. So don't tell him I said that.
Vince Gledhill, Ian, I use Scrivener. But too much information there, Vince, which is designed for novel, screenplay and other writing tasks. It also saves as it goes.
Matty, I'm examining that. I suspect that'd be rather expensive software, but I don't mind. Yeah.
Matty Flynn, back it up to disc or card. Card. I mean, God, which century is he living in? For goodness sakes. Back it up to disc or card and buy an iMac. Scrap Microsoft.
He wasn't on the floppy disk, was he? He's on about the floppy disk.
Try a memory stick.
I do that. But when you're writing, you know, I tried to get it to do this automatically every two minutes to save, but it didn't do it. It didn't work. Now, I'm going to have to examine why that happened. But the alternative is to do it manually every so often. But when you're writing, you don't think of things like that. You're following the line of conversations and things like that, and you just get carried along without worrying about how to save it, and then suddenly, bang.
Hannah, does this resonate with you, this experience at the inside? Not four times, obviously, you think, well, once perhaps, but, you know, four times.
I've lost work every now and again, but what I always try and do is remember to do Control-S on the keyboard, as that's the shortcut to saving, so every other line, if I have a pause in what I'm writing, I quickly do that and then continue on.
Yeah. If you can get the habit of doing that, I suppose...
Or at the end of the paragraph or something.
Yeah. Because you don't have to leave the page, you just do... Once you've saved it into a specific area, you just press Control and S on your keyboard and...
I had a horror story from one of my friends who was an academic. He was head of languages at Newcastle University, I think, and he was told he should really do more academic work, so he started to write a book on Stendhal, and he was averaging about a chapter a month, I think it was, and one night he came in the pub in absolutely white face, and he'd wiped the whole chapter of like a month's work.
He was scarlet and black.
And he never cared. He never started again. He just couldn't bring himself to do it.
It's like
and he was, I mean, he was
a gifted academic, he was. And you hadn't written anything as much as other people do.
It was never meant to be, obviously. It reached that stage where
I don't think he viewed it like that.
And Ben, have you, in your word, because as time as a student, ever had that?
Yes. Many a time. Not too, like, bad in length. I think the worst is probably about 500 words, but it's still bad. Doesn't matter how big the word count is.
I bet when it happened to you, you didn't say, it's only 500 words.
No. I'm pretty sure I didn't, and especially if there's a deadline nearby and you kind of...
Gesundheit, Hannah, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm trying to turn away.
She's very good. She's Hannah is a well-brought-up young lady. She knows not to sneeze over the microphone and in the face of her fellow presenters.
Yes, that was the first thing my mum taught me.
It's
never
true.
Sneeze in a microphone.
Yeah. I think we've all experienced the saving problem. It's just it teaches you to save as you go along or back it up somewhere else.
It's one of the morals of the programme in the first hour, really. Always remember to save. Yeah, we've talked about science education schools. We've had Paul Verhoeven movies discussed at length from Richard Fitzwilliams. Now, always remember to save, a critical aspect.
Yes.
I know Ian's very keen, as indeed are Ollie and Obo, to actually find out what Terry McBride's version of Hotels and Highways sounds like, given that Terry's back in country music, as we heard yesterday from Camo, after a break of nigh on 20 years. So are you ready for Hotels and Highways from Terry McBride to cast your critical ear over this? Ian?
Yes, I am.
Simply attempts to maintain the conceit and say, so Ian, what did you make of Terry McBride there? But of course, we would be incorrect in doing that, because Ian would have immediately said, excuse me, sir, that's Eric Clapton and Old Love. That's not anything to do with Terry McBride and Hotels and Highways. You would have said that, wouldn't you, Ian?
Definitely. I was about to say, it's certainly not country and western music.
We are. It's slow hand in his own way. Have we just dropped the milk?
Alex, I've got some at the door.
Oh, no. Right. So, you see, there we are. Ian's now going to actually answer the door.
Interview them. Yes. Interview person at the door.
Some random material here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to
leave you. I've got a guy coming down my roof.
Well, there we are. So, happy trails, Ian. We'll see you next time. Okay? And that's the kind of challenge that clearly the world was meant to... He was not meant to actually listen to Hotels and Highways, because somebody's come to mend his roof.
We can play it and then play it maybe next week for him.
Exactly. That's just what we'll do.
He can get two country songs next week.
Sensational.
Treat him.
I was born with a restless, rambling heart, not one to be fenced in. Before I can hang my hat, I'm already gone again. Girl, you need to know before you go and fall to too hard. My roots are wrapped around a pair of taillights in the dark. Hotels and highways, it's all I've ever known. More miles and memories of falling asleep alone. Waking up to the hum of the traffic at the door. Your whole life in a suitcase on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from our home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. A guy like me's used to getting lost out on the road. Too quick to see where a kiss like this might go. So I hold you close and make the most of this setting sun going down. And like a leaving song, I'll be long gone before it rolls back around. Hotels and highways, it's all I've ever known. More miles and memories. Falling asleep alone. Waking up to the hum of the traffic at the door. Your whole life in a suitcase on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from my home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. You get used to the hum of the traffic at the door. Your whole life in a suitcase on the floor. It's all staring at walls and late night calls from my home away from home. Hotels and highways, yeah. Hotels and highways, yeah.
And as Providence would actually have it, neither Ben nor Hannah probably actually had heard Hotels and Highways before. So, Ben, what did you make of it?
I found it quite chilling, quite relaxing. Mm-hmm. It was very therapeutic.
Hannah?
Yeah, it was a nice song. I enjoyed it.
It probably echoed the thoughts of the Midweek Drive team last night. And Ian, well, he's getting his roof fixed, as we know.
I'm sure he'd loved it.
Very important.
Well, but Ollie and Oba, what do you think they... Did you think they liked it?
I think their ears would have twitched.
Their ears would have twitched.
Yeah.
I still think... what's his name? The pug.
Frodo.
Yeah. Moment of Madness, then. Exactly. I reckon he would have liked that.
It's a definite thought. New research released today has polled children aged 11 to 14 to find out how they think cities will be powered in 2050.
Ooh.
Innovative energy ideas range from hydrogen-powered jetpacks to gutters that create energy as rainwater flows through them. And the research has been conducted by Shell in support of the Bright Ideas Challenge, which aims to inspire the next generation of scientists and engineers. And we'll be speaking to spokesperson Rachel Riley to talk about the Bright Ideas Challenge. Have you ever had a bright scientific idea, Hannah?
Probably not. When you were saying kind of new energy, the first thought that came into my head was like you could get lots of hamsters on running wheels. So
hold that thought.
That's
worth sharing with Rachel and the whole team after the news. There's apparently up to £50,000 worth of STEM prizes, that's science, technology, engineering and mathematics, for winning teams. £1,500 for an opportunity to supersize STEM learning at your school, a tablet for each winning team member, and a funded trip to Make the Future Live, Shell's Festival of Ideas and Innovation, which takes place between the 25th and 28th of May this year at Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park in London. So the deadline for entries, 5 p.m. Friday, the 21st of April. It is pretty much open to schools, though, so I think we're probably too old. He says we in the collective sense, though. Anyway, That's pretty much it. Ben, you're going to stick out, you're making that sacrifice. You're not heading down as yet because of the possibility.
Just to see Rachel Ryder. Not even see you speak to her.
It's all right. We've also got Louis Savvy. We'll be talking about the 48-hour London Challenge with Hannah and others. We've got Alan Stevens, who's back with us as well. And a very short little piece, which is going to focus on a bookshop opening that I attended last weekend in Saltburn, by the sea, of course. John Lennon, Borrowed Time, will take us up to the news.